Hi everyone, and welcome to a very exciting episode of Loose Lips with me, Sharon Carpenter.
and me, Georgie Porter. Wait, I was trying to get the Manchester accent. That didn't quite
go for it.
Quite sound. No, that was it.
Well, that was it.
That was the best I've got. That was the best I've got. Yeah, it's funny you said a very exciting episode. It didn't sound like you were very excited to her.
I was going with like a sexy chat. Like,
oh, this is exciting.
Sensuous Sharon.
Sensuous and voluptuous. The voluptuous chat.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How are you, Sharon? What have you been up to? What's new?
Georgie, I've been good. I've been, I've been traveling a lot and... So I got back, and to be honest, like, it took me a little while to get back into the swing of things. And I'll tell you why, and tell me if you've ever experienced this. So just, you know, I live by myself, me and my two Bengal cats, right? Which I'm very used to, and usually I'm fine about it. But being away, I was away for 2 weeks. And the first week I was staying in a suite. My friend had a bedroom. I had a bedroom in the suite. So every morning I woke up, she was there. We're having a laugh. We're getting ready for our day. And then the last 5 days, every day I woke up, my parents were there. But like getting back into the swing of like being back in New York and waking up and it's just me. And me and the Bengals, like, it kind of put me in a weird space for a little while, to be honest. Like, oh, I'm lonely. Yeah, yeah. Oh. But now I'm getting back into the swing of things. But for a while there, I was like, oh, it's so nice to just be around family. And it kind of takes you back to those days growing up in the house with your family and you wake up and everyone's there. And there's some comfort. There's a high level of comfort that comes along with that. Yes, I'm old enough to be over that at this point in time. But no, just going back to it, you know, it brought that comfort back.
Yeah, I agree, Sharon, because in COVID, I lived next door to my mom. It was good because we have a separate house. But I agree, it's bringing you back to the childhood times where you sat in your house, but you know that you could just go into the living room and be like, hi, guys. Whereas, because as well, when I lived in LA, I lived on my own in my own flat. And there'd be days where I'd just sit out the window and be like, what do? I don't know what to do. I am so alone. And you'd have to try and, I always think you have to try and plan your week and plan your days so that you've got things to do, because otherwise you start going into a hole of thinking things and going, I'm just going to be alone forever. Or what do I do now in my life?
Yeah, that is something that has sort of been consistent for me ever since I moved to America, that sort of feeling. You're never quite as comfortable as you are when you wake up and you've got family there. It's just, you know, a whole different experience. But, I'm very used to it. I think it's just when I do go away and I'm just around people all the time and then I'm sort of back to doing a lot by myself. Yeah. Like, it can be a bit of a tricky transition sometimes, but now I'm like ready and raring to go. It just took a couple of days, but I was glad to have the cats there. I'm like, oh, you know, I've got some company. They're amazing company as well. Yeah.
Do you know what I think this is getting you ready for right now is that you're like opening space to maybe sharing with a partner. Like, as well, don't forget, I think you know, when you like that thing of like the secret, but I don't read the secret, but I know about the things where it says, if you sleep on one side of the bed, you are creating space for someone to come and live and sort of, you're giving the energy for someone to be staying in that space of the bed. And if you're like, maybe, I don't know, who knows, is it you're going, oh, I'm ready to have some.
That could be it. Because if you enjoy being by yourself too much, then you're not really going to be looking to settle down the same kind of way, right? But if you feel some sort of sense of, oh, I kind of wish somebody was here, then that's going to make you be a little bit more proactive. Now, it's interesting you say that about the, oh, you sleep on this side of the bed, it's allowing that space and telling the universe that you're ready for somebody. Yeah. That's actually what it says in The Secret as well, if you've ever read that. I haven't made it through the entire book, but I like The Secret a lot because it gets me really motivated. And it said you have to sort of act like, you got to find room even in your closet. Like if your closet and everything is just packed out with your own stuff, you're telling the universe, no, I don't have room for anyone else in my life.
I wish you'd have told my boyfriend that before I moved my shit in.
Honestly, how are you guys coping with, you know, wardrobe space, and how is that working out?
I am really, it is very hard. And we both, okay, so this house he has now is like for him and his son, like a bachelor pad. It is not space for a woman and a girl with her needs. And to be honest,
wait, is that where you are now? Where are you now?
That's where you are now.
Okay.
Is that his bachelor pad where my good old trusty
spin bike is behind you.
Is in the kitchen, which, you know, it's not ideal. He sweats all over us when we eat our dinner and because he has to get his training. So anyway, trying to load all my clothes and my life into his already pre-existing house is stressful and it's hard because... Yeah. Our house is not ready yet to move in, and I am very positive and he's more stressed than I am, I must admit. But we have to try and move in into a building site, and we've got a time limit because people are wanting to buy his house. So we are
That's always tough, isn't it? Like getting that timing right of selling and buying can be really tricky and definitely stress inducing. So you guys are getting stuff done. You're getting it sort of ready to move in. What's your timeline looking like? And when are these guys going to be done with it?
We have to move in in October, towards before the end of October. Now, apparently in construction and things have to be done in certain orders, like the plaster has to be in, but then the tiler has to be in before that, but then the plumber has to come in, and then the floor has to be laid before the kitchen puts.
So, and the electrician and
Oh, and there's that guy. And then the painter, there's no painter. There's no one wants to paint our house. And so therefore me and my mum are stepping up, and Ollie's like, no, I don't trust you. And I'm like, we could just do it. Be fun. It's going to be great. So there's a lot of other things.
That could be a great bonding experience. Get him in on the action as well. Your mom, his son, and you. I mean, it might be a painting disaster, but at least it will be a fun bonding time.
At least we'll look at the wall and go, remember that splat attack there? That is what we did.
Yeah, you're all going to be covered in paint by the end of things, but Georgie, I'm wishing you the best of luck. Give us an update for sure.
I will, but I know for a fact I've looked like a pigeon has pooed on my face because I've been doing the ceiling recently. So.
Well, where, you know, they say it's good luck, don't they? Paint or pigeon poop, no one will know the difference. We're going to go with good luck right there.
Yeah.
This is our news story number one, which gets me very upset. Facebook. There are Facebook documents that show how toxic Instagram is for teens, right? So Facebook has repeatedly found through studies that its Instagram app is harmful to a number of teenagers, according to a Wall Street Journal report, which was published last week. The journal cited Facebook studies over the past 3 years that examined how Instagram affects its young user base, with teenage girls being most notably harmed. One internal Facebook presentation said that among teens who reported suicidal thoughts, 13% of British users and 6% of American users traced the issue to Instagram. That is pretty stunning revelation there. Now, 32% of teen girls said that when they felt bad about their bodies, Instagram made them feel worse, the research has found. Facebook also reportedly found that 14% of boys in the US said that Instagram made them feel worse about themselves. Young users are, of course, key to Instagram success. More than 40% of Instagram users are 22 years old or younger, apparently. Many are calling for Facebook at this point to abandon its plans for an Instagram for kids. So, yeah, they need to scrap that and focus instead on protecting existing young users. And what is really crazy about this, Georgie, and you guys, is that it took the Wall Street Journal to reveal these findings. Facebook did not reveal these findings publicly. Yeah. Obviously, these studies were leaked to the Wall Street Journal. So they've been hiding stuff from us. They've been really downplaying the negative effects of Instagram because on young people.
Has Facebook like sort of bought Instagram now? Or they're like, it says Facebook now, doesn't it? On
it's
the,
Facebook.
On the thing. So it is.
It's Zuckerberg. I've got my own name for Zuckerberg. You... it begins with an F.
She's a great writer, Sharon.
I really liked the guy initially, but I've realized that at the end of the day, for him, it's just business.
Just money, isn't it? It's just what he makes.
Money, no matter how much he has, how successful they are. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So we kind of tried to talk about this the other day, didn't we? We were like, save it, because we can get into gossip for hours and we need to not.
Absolutely.
And we both did say, didn't we? Or we got a thought of the homepage of Instagram.
Like our feed, our news feed, right?
Yes. Yeah. That comes into our eyeballs that we get shown sort of before we start looking for things. So already it has a control on us, doesn't it? That it shows us things that we think we'd like, or sort of things that are maybe glamorized things.
Absolutely.
Nice looking things, but also can be a bit like, oh, why don't I look like that? Or why don't I have that? Or why don't I? That kind of, you know, feel of the...
No, you're absolutely right. Like, and what's interesting is, so I was scrolling through Instagram. I saw an ad, right? And it was some guy who, I guess, gives advice on how to run your social media and holds like these panels and talks and this, that, and the other. And it was funny because it was an ad, but he was talking about, okay, here's how to make the most of the algorithm. Because, of course, there's an algorithm in place, right? So he's saying, oh, make sure top quality photos and post at this time and make sure you use Reels and IGTV and this, that, and the other and all the new features on Instagram and make sure you don't do this and make sure you do that. And I'm just like, why can't we just post a picture to reach our own following? So back in the days, the algorithm, when Instagram was Instagram before Facebook bought it, it was basically you would see things in chronological order. So if I'm looking through my newsfeed and you just posted a photo like 2 minutes ago, Georgie, I would see your picture. Yeah. Nowadays, you might post a photo. I'm looking through my feed. You've posted your picture 2 minutes ago. I'm on there. I'm looking. I'm seeing a post from 4 days ago. I'm seeing a post from 17 hours ago. I'm seeing a post from 3 hours ago. Your post is buried all the way down at the bottom, especially what I have found, at least this is my experience, is if it's related to work and if it's anything of substance that is not going to cause, that is not polarizing and doesn't cause controversy. Yeah. Now, if it's a straight up sexy picture or a bikini picture and everything's looking perfect, they are going to push that to your followers. If it's anything of actual real substance and, you know, real stuff that you're doing, work stuff that you're proud of, they are going to squash that. So you can even look, when you look at your insights, and I don't know if you do this, Georgie, you look at your insights and you'll look at something you posted for work, insights, the reaches all the way down. Regular bikini pic reaches all the way up. So they want to control everything that we see and what we are able to have seen on our own with our own following.
So you're right. And there's an example of us both here, isn't there, where I've posted a picture of me wearing some duct tape because I had no bra and no tape to wear for the NTAs.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd asked the hotel for some tape and they brought this and I was like, perfect, I'm going to wear it. And so I'd put that on and then obviously I told everyone, well, everyone, makeup and hair and people, and I was like, I'm doing this, and they were like, that's really funny, nobody would have a clue that's underneath your dress.
Yeah,
so I posted a picture because I actually thought, you know what, it's not like too seedy, it's actually the truth and it's actually quite funny.
Yeah, it's that, hilarious.
That's got like the most likes I've ever done in my life. And therefore it's being pushed by someone else. It's not necessarily anybody's gone, oh, I like that one, that's really clever of her because she's decided to use that with a last minute thing. It's like, oh, there's some boobs.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the algorithm, it encourages us women to show more skin from our experience, right? And then, so what happens? So you have a teen girl who's on there and she's following people. She's not getting a well-rounded feed that shows all sorts of different things that's going to keep your mind healthy. She's just seeing those perfect pictures. And we feel the need to post those perfect pictures
because
we know that's what's going to get likes.
Yeah.
And then what's important to, you know, especially if you use your Instagram for business at all, your average likes is important, the average comments that you get, all of that stuff, all those analytics can be very important to, you know, influencers and anyone who uses their Instagram for work. So I would just say this before we wrap up this particular discussion, I would say, you know, push past that and stop, you know, we should all stop doing stuff just for likes, even though we might feel temporarily it might affect our business.
Yeah.
I think just push through. Instagram's going to have to change at a certain point. So I show a variety, even though I know it brings my averages down. I don't care. I'm not going to have them dictate what I'm going to post. And then on the other side of that, we also all need to have discussions with our young people in our lives and just let them know, smoke and mirrors. Focus on what's going on around you in real life, what you're seeing with your own eyeballs in 3D.
Yeah, because actually what I find is funny, if when fans meet these celebs and they go, oh, you don't look like that.
Yeah.
And I find like that's like, that's for you. Surely you should be like, oh yeah, that's what that
absolutely
is.
It's funny when I meet people, people are always like, oh, you're shorter than I expected. You look so tall on TV. I'm like, oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah, I squat next to things that look smaller or bigger.
Exactly. But they've got to change up. Instagram, Facebook, they have become problematic and they're not being transparent about what they're doing, which makes it even worse. This is an ethical issue at this point. Teens are being harmed. Something needs to be done.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Very true.
So, Georgie, you have a
next one.
Another story.
Yeah. Oh, news. Oh, this really, I actually find this relatable, I'm going to say, but not on obviously Ed Sheeran's level, which brings me to Ed Sheeran says US award shows are filled with hatred and create an uncomfortable atmosphere.
Ouch.
In England, our award shows are just like everyone gets drunk and no one really cares who wins or who loses. It's just a sort of a good night out, Ed Sheeran said to Audacity. Odyssey? Mm. Okay.
He had the audacity to say it to Audacity.
And I love this because he's so honest and it's very true. The room is filled with resentment and hatred towards everyone else and it's quite an uncomfortable atmosphere, the Shivers singer said. All the artists are sweet people, but they're like surrounded by entourages that want them to win too. So it's one artist surrounded by 10 people, another artist surrounded by 10 people, and everyone is kind of giving each other the side eye, he added. Sheeran did, however, clarify that the atmosphere he was referring to was not specific to the MTV Music Video Awards, which took place on Sunday. It's nothing to do with the MTV or the award show. It's all the other award shows too. Billboards, Grammys, AMAs. He said, it's just lots of people wanting other people to fail, and I don't like that. Sharon, you and me have been to a hell of a lot of award shows, haven't we?
Yeah.
I mean, we have. We have.
I've only ever been to one award show in the UK, though. I was co-hosting the God, sorry. The Independent Music Awards, that was it. The Independent Music Awards, it was a really fun night. Like, Georgia Smith was there, Goldie was there, and I co-hosted it with Mr. Jam. And it seemed like a good time. I didn't see a bunch of people drunk. That was in the UK, but they could have been. I was focused on what I had to do. I have been to a lot of American award shows, and to be honest, I'm a little surprised by what Ed Sheeran has said. I don't want to take away from his own personal experiences, because obviously I'm not Ed Sheeran, and I'm seeing it from a different perspective, but a lot of the award shows that I have been to, I've seen a lot of camaraderie. I've seen, you know, people, it's like a reunion, like, oh, I haven't seen you in so long. Like, a lot of the time, you know, managers will know other managers and publicists will know other publicists. And you kind of feel the good vibes in the room. At least that's from my perspective. But obviously, some of the artists might have different ideas there. I was at the VMAs the other day as well, and Ed Sheeran performed. And the way it was set up, I don't know if it's the Barclays Center, which is actually down the street from me, but it was a different kind of vibe, I think, just because of the setup of the show. So maybe that threw things off. But he did say it was a bunch of other award shows as well. Yeah. So I find it interesting. But Georgie, what's your perspective? You've been to a lot of award shows, even recently. What are you finding? And do you find that there's sort of a lot of hate out there? Because he's saying it's not in the UK award shows. Yeah. He's saying it's the American ones.
Well, I'm very lucky that I get to go. I love going. A lot. Some people are a bit like, I'm nervous on the red carpet. I don't enjoy going. I wish I didn't go. And I'm more like, I will take your place. I will go for you. I literally... It as well, from a young age, I think at the age of 20 is when I first started going to these things. And to be honest, it was always soaps and television people wanted to sort of get on, because we were all thrown in this boat of, like, you know, craziness together. You're thrown on a carpet in front of a load of cameras. And, you know, one look, you could look a mess, like... You know, you could have something in your teeth and you're like, oh, that's what I'll remember for my life. Like,
yeah.
So there's quite high stress, isn't there? There's quite a lot.
There is.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people bring it on themselves because they just panic and it's just not a good night for them. And so maybe some people get drunk to cope with the nerves, and maybe that's why it ends up being a bit of a drunken night. But
that makes sense.
Yeah. And so I have witnessed great, all the time, great times. There's also been like the NTAs before, when I've just walked around on my own.
National Television Awards.
Yeah. Which is a great, massive, huge do for us, because it's like all the channels, all the television shows. It's really big. It's huge.
Amazing.
And, you know, I find myself just walking around, seeing people, talking to people, but not just, you know, the famous people, also behind the scenes people. Like, for me, it's just a great social event to just chat to everyone and anyone. And even if you've had a great time on a job that you've done, you get to see them again. And that's, you know, you get to be like, oh, I remember this, I remember that. And
It's like a reunion. Like, you're feeling that too, that kind of spirit. Yeah. Like, oh, I haven't seen, because how often do you get to see people on the other shows, actors you might have worked with before in the past, and now here they are again?
Yeah, not often at all, really. People. Yeah, and I mean, and the crew and stuff and people like that, and, you know, production team. And sometimes I literally run up to people and they're like, I forgot who you are. And I'm like, it's Georgie. I did this show with you. Do you remember? Dancing on Ice 2017 or seven or years ago. And people are like, no, I don't remember you. And I'm like, look, remember me. So I literally... I'm probably that annoying person that's like begging you to remember me. So I just...
So you get both sides, that there can be some stress there. I think Ed Sheeran is sort of he seems like a sensitive soul, you know, really nice guy, but he seems like a sensitive soul. And I think that I don't think there's anything wrong with people going into award shows and wanting to win, right? And of course, the entourage wants you to win.
And he's he's winning all the time, isn't he? So people maybe are just giving him shit because... Maybe
they're like, jealous. Oh, if I'm in the category with Ed Sheeran, then I'm likely going to lose. So they're giving him the side eye.
But, side eye.
But I think just if you want to win, right, by default, you want that other person to lose. But I am sorry that that's been his experience, because it can be really, really fun. Hopefully his next American award show is a bit more fun for him. Yeah, maybe he needs a couple of drinks. Like,
yeah, maybe
he goes
stop
in there.
Winning everything, Ed. Like, maybe give someone else a break. Like,
exactly. Come on. Give somebody else a turn.
Make some friends instead of winning.
Yeah, exactly. We love Ed though. I think we have to take a quick break and then we'll be back with a listener letter.
Ace.
See you in a sec.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, a brand new podcast bringing together people's real ghost, extraterrestrial and paranormal stories, as well as getting some inside details from those who study the supernatural. I'll be listening through your paranormal stories every week and try to understand them, as well as chatting about my own encounters with an occasional paranormal investigator too. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts from, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Acast. Just search for Paranormal Activity with Yvette Fielding.
All right, we're back, everyone, and we have a listener letter for you. This one is from Joanna. Joanna is saying, "Hi, girls. I'm going to a friend's birthday next weekend at a karaoke bar, but I don't know what to sing. I am pretty tone deaf and don't want to be the only one that sits out. What's an easy song for me to give a crack after a few wines?" A few wines? How many is a few wines? Georgie,
are you a karaoke?
I can't say I am. I've done it before. Somehow I managed to get the guts to do it when I was in Barbados one time, and I was hanging out with a friend of mine, and we decided to sing the worst song you can possibly sing at karaoke unless you have a good voice. Beat It by Michael Jackson.
Just beat it. And you do the bop, both the beat it's
we
like
try
all the beat
to
it's.
Do yes. So you're going high, you're going low, you're going high, you're going low, and we couldn't do either, and it was a complete disaster. And Bajans, by the way, in Barbados, they absolutely love their karaoke. They will sit there for hours listening to karaoke. I can't listen to people singing karaoke for more than about 15 minutes. But anyway, whatever you do, don't sing Beat It by Michael Jackson. Georgie, what is your definitely don't do this song?
I'm like Joanna. I need a few wines, and I'm a bit nervous because I sit back and be like, no, I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to sing like karaoke, and then by the end of the night, I'm grabbing the microphone off people and like
my
singing.
Turn again.
I'm like, mate, but I just can't last, especially when you're drinking. You're so dehydrated. Your voice doesn't come out, does it? Like Celine Dion, like you want it to. But I remember my boyfriend Ollie. He ordered a taxi that picks you up, and you sing karaoke on the way to your night out. Now, I think we were just going to a restaurant, and him and his mate and me were sat in this karaoke car machine with the speakers on the outside and a disco.
Oh, hilarious. So people outside that you're passing by can hear you guys singing.
It was the most humiliating, funniest, most ridiculous moment I've ever witnessed of my life. And we actually pulled up into quite a posh area with us literally singing like Dolly Parton, 9 to 5. And then we just stepped out and was like, okay, that was that.
Oh my God. That is actually a really good business idea.
That is a genius
business idea. But yeah, I mean, you know what was really, really fun? It wasn't quite karaoke. I did lip sync. It was like a lip sync battle, right? We were in Saint-Tropez, and there was a group of us, and we would like do it in twos, right? So I have my partner, and we decided to sing Britney One More Time, Hit Me Baby One More Time, whatever it's called. And the great thing was, it didn't matter how our voices sounded because we weren't using our voices. We were just doing the facial expressions. We were singing into liquor bottles, by the way, that we'd made our way through. And it was one of the most fun nights. So lip syncing is more my stews than the actual, the actual singing. But that's actually a good one to sing. Britney One More Time. That's not too hard. Or Spice Girls Wannabe, right? That's not too much, you know, crazy vocal range there.
You want a song that's very, that kind of speaks. You want a speaking song, really, or you do.
Yeah, almost like, you don't want a full-on rapping song, right, unless you've really got skills like that. But sort of somewhere between speaking and singing is probably the sweet point, yeah.
Or just go out and be absolutely terrible and everyone can just applaud you for trying. That would be great.
Exactly. So we have another news story, don't we?
News number 3.
Yeah.
We have, this is a toughie.
It is.
So we've got news number 3, which is a backlash over Balenciaga new racist sweatpants. Mm-hmm. A pair of $1,190 worth is a sweatpants from Tony Fashion House, Balenciaga. They're being slammed on social media as racist and prime example of cultural appropriation. The Trump Lial sweatpant, maybe double check that, everybody who wants to know.
Yeah, Trump Loyal.
Trump Loyal. I'm guessing it's French. Sweatpants. The sweatpants come with a built-in boxer short that are designed to peek out above the waistband, mimicking the style popularized in hip-hop culture. A TikTok user says, this feels racist, this feels very racist. And they're shown in the shop, aren't they, holding the pants, and both agreeing, two of them, that it's sort of bringing, that they say it sort of brings... Well, I kind of looked and researched on this as well, and there's another guy that says, you know, people, black men, were arrested for wearing their trousers like this because police back then would just be like criminals because you're wearing your pants like this.
Yeah, no, absolutely,
And so now that there's a bit of an angry outrage because now they're selling this particular style for thousands. £2,000, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's like just over $1,000 or something, like $1,100, right? Mm, I think.
Yeah.
Or is that £1,100? Yeah. But
and
no,
also,
no,
yeah, how much
is that?
Yeah.
And so there's a doctor, Dr. Gamage or Dr. Gamage, who's the author of Cultural Appropriation as Agency Reduction, who has said that the style in the past has been used, like you said, to criminalize blacks, especially black males, as thugs and a threat to American society. Mm. And it really has. I mean, And people have lost their lives as well for wearing that style. Yeah. It's really unfortunate. When you go all the way back, I mean, it was popularized by hip hop. It became part of street style, streetwear. The skaters then started wearing it as well. If you go sort of all the way back in the days, apparently the trend started in the prison system before it came sort of became popular on the streets. But the unfortunate thing is, while it was a style, it was used to stereotype people and villainize young black men. And like you said, you know, police profiled some of these young black men for wearing that style. So there's been, you know, a lot of pain and a lot of issues associated with this style that young black men have had to deal with. And now here this fashion brand comes along, says, oh, you know what, we think this is kind of cool, and we're gonna, you know, we're going to snatch that idea, and we're gonna sell it for $1,100. And there's something that seems very, very unfair and just not right. And I'm not somebody who gets super sensitive over cultural appropriation, because I feel like we all borrow from each other's cultures. Mm. We all borrow from different things that we see happening out there in the world. So I'm not super sensitive about cultural appropriation. But this particular one, because there's been so much pain and discrimination and persecution associated with this style of clothing, extremely unfairly for these guys to just come along and start using this style, giving no credit as usual, because these fashion houses usually don't, but taking also, the money.
And the picture of these particular pants, they're kind of like not, so I used to like watch hip hop videos. I still do now. They're just not around as much. But, you know, back when like I used to watch a lot of hip hop bass, MTV bass channel and stuff like that. And I'd see that and I'd be like, wow, they're fit men. They're really sexy with their pants down there and their butt hanging out, but their boxers on. And I used to be like, whoa, that's hot. Then this particular style and this particular model, he's got his underpants like way up, like on his belly button. And like, and then like the jogger pants like around the waist. So it's not even like, it's actually
men's
sexy.
Not hot in those.
Man's not hot. And you're like, oh, you've like taken them, which, okay, you can take styles and you've done that and you've put a label on them, but you've actually made it nerd.
Like, now they're like high-waisted boxers or something. You know what's funny? There was a story that I did like back in 2012. I remember I was working with this news organization and I did a story about this company. It was a black-owned company called Sags, right? And they did this very thing. They built in sort of the top of the boxers to pants, jeans, sweatpants, all sorts of things. And they had three levels of sag. So you had saggy, you had saggy, and you had saggiest, right?
So
depending on how you want to do it. And a lot of people were really upset with them for doing it, because they didn't want to encourage that particular style. Like, there was a politician I spoke to, he was like, I don't want to see your dirty underwear, that's just nasty.
Now that's the thing as well, is that you've got to have a clean pair of pants if you're gonna, you know, if that's the way it's going and you look
no
hot doing
no skid marks.
It, you cannot have a skid mark. I think I've seen that as a meme once where there's just a poo mark and you're like, oh.
Oh God, no, no.
But you know, talking about Balenciaga, like, I love Balenciaga. I'm a big fan. I think I'm that person. I like it.
Yeah.
And I bought some flip-flops and I've been wearing these flip-flops at work, okay, with socks. And people at work are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, listen, okay, I know middle-aged men wear these, but I am having the time of my life with this because it makes so much sense. You know, you've got the breeze between the toes. You've got, like, the protection of a sock.
Wait, also, how do you have the breeze between the toes if you've got socks on?
Well, you can either, like, you know, there's, like...
Oh, like, through the... Okay.
Because your trainer... Yeah, okay. You're not wearing a trainer,
yeah,
so you've
yeah,
got,
yeah,
like,
yeah, it's not covered. Okay.
But then also, it's not too cold because you've got, like, a nice sock that's involved. So I have literally adopted the middle-aged man sock and sandal situation.
I think really I've seen you like that. Are you wearing them right now?
I'm not wearing them right now, but I literally would be if I needed to.
You're probably barefoot right now, even more comfortable. But yeah, I think some of these fashion brands, they need to hire like a sensitivity officer or cultural appropriation overlooker or something, just because so many of them have done it. I mean, Burberry's done some stuff before. They had a hoodie that was tied into a noose. You had Gucci, who had like a blackface jumper. And it's like, guys, like you need to know better than this, or somebody at the company needs
I've seen a t-shirt with a bomb on the back, like a printed bomb, and I was offended. Like, I saw a guy wear this and I was like, you can't wear this t-shirt. And it was at a very sensitive time. Oh, and I was like, I'm offended that this is an acceptable t-shirt. So yeah, there is things where it is
take it off.
I think
the shirt off your back right now. Yeah, exactly. Mm. You just have to be sensitive to what's going on in society, and oftentimes they're not. But hopefully, they're learning from those mistakes. All right, so we have another listener letter, okay? So this one is from Alex, who's saying, I am going to a networking event next week. I was wondering if you had any conversation starters that work for you.
Oh, you're going to be way better at this than me, Sharon. Can I just predict something, Sharon? Okay.
Of course.
So I know that you would be so good at getting what you want out of the people. Not like using them or whatever, but just be like...
Manipulation.
Like, you'd be like, I've got the time. I know how much I need to get, and I'm going to go, and I need to go, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to get there quick, and I'm going to get it and go. And I feel like...
I am that person.
Yes. But that's brilliant. That's perfect. For these things.
I can be very strategic in a nice way, because, you know, I'm also not afraid. Nice. Like if I need to, you know, approach someone or have that conversation, I definitely will. I think that I'm probably more nervous when I go into a situation by myself, right? Wow. Then it's a little more intimidating, like it probably is for everybody. But I think networking by yourself is a good plan, because if you go with friends, you go with coworkers, oftentimes you end up just talking to the same group, right? Instead of really pushing yourself to get out there and meet new people. But Georgie, I think you are somebody who can spark up a conversation with absolutely anyone. You've got that bubbly personality, so everyone's going to want to talk to you. So even just like a simple line, like, hi, I'm Georgie. Hi, I'm Alex. What's your name? That kind of thing is going to go a long way, just sort of being super supernatural without overthinking things can work, can't it?
I can admit, I will go home and I've got everybody's number in the room, like, not meaning to, but just like being like, oh my god, yeah, that will connect to that, and just give me a number, we'll do that. And then I'll go home and I'll be like, but what did I say to those, because I'm not that, I don't remember all the specific things. Like, I'm good at, this is what I came up with the other day, I'm good at the dots, but I'm bad at connecting the dots.
So you can put the dots down, but you just can't connect them all. Yeah.
I can be like, you, and that's good, and there, and that's good. But what did we talk about in between to get there? Don't really remember.
Yeah. Well, see, that can be tough as well. And the other thing, I think the most important part of networking, people have to realize, is the follow-up. The follow-up game is the most important part of networking, because I have seen even my first job in news, right, when I went from hosting a public access show, which was low budget, wasn't getting paid anything, you know, super sort of grainy, that kind of thing. It was great experience, and I'm still in contact with the guys who were producing it. But I met the news director of a local news station, who came over and said, anyone who can work the room like you are, getting all these great interviews, should be in news. He gave me his card. He also gave the producer of the show his card. I emailed him the next day, and about a week after that, and like 2 weeks after that. And I ended up working for him and getting my first job in news as an associate producer. Yes. Now, the producer didn't email him until 4 months later. And at that point, the news director didn't even email him back. He just didn't bother. And then my now boss said, oh yeah, so-and-so emailed me, but he obviously wasn't really serious about it. Like, if you're serious about it, you're gonna follow up immediately. So that's what you have to remember as well. Like, follow up, you know, I'm not always great at the follow-up game either. Luckily, people, you know, Some people out there are good, and then they'll follow up with me. Otherwise, there'll be no more communication. But
yeah,
that's just a good thing to keep in mind. Just the next day, have your list of people that you want to email and, you know, say, oh, it was lovely to meet you yesterday. Let's connect. Let's have coffee. Let's get on a Zoom. Whatever it is, that's the biggest and most important part of networking.
Yeah. Absolutely. That is brilliant. Maybe I should take that on more.
Yeah. But you know what's awkward? And Georgie, I'm sure you can relate to this, right? When you're talking to somebody and you have been networking or just chatting, and now it's sort of like, have you overstayed your welcome, or they've overstayed their welcome? Like the conversation's kind of running dry and you want to excuse yourself and you have find an excuse to sort of walk away. So in good networking, you kind of walk away before it runs so dry and it starts to get awkward.
I remember one of the most awkward networking events I ever did in my life in LA, and it was at a gallery. And an agent invited me and was like, right, we're going to talk to everyone. And I was like, at a gallery? And I was there, and I got papped. Nobody knew who I was. And they were like, who are you? And I was like, And and I spoke to people. Nobody really cared or wanted to speak to me. Or there was like flirty men that I just thought, oh, this is creepy. Do I have to talk to these men? I don't know. And there was one older man, and I think he was English. So he looked at me and he said, now this is so bad. He said to me, I dare you to wipe yourself across that picture there because everybody else is boring here. And I went, okay. Now, this picture was a chalkboard, and I'm sure it was like not a real picture. I think it was just, you know, writing of the wine list or something like that.
Oh, so it wasn't an actual expensive piece of art?
No. No.
Okay.
And so it had the list of the drinks on, maybe. And so he just went, smudge that. So I was like, okay. So I smudged it, and he was like, whoa, I didn't think you'd actually do that. And I was like, I didn't. And so then it came to light that actually he was friends with my agent, and they're all really good friends. And he was like, she's cool, I like her. And I was like, he's fun, this is great. And I think he wanted me to hook up with his son in the end. But, you know, that was all a bit. And so it went a bit like a great
networking goes wrong, ladies and gentlemen. What not to do at a networking event? Wipe your body across.
Don't play dares. Do not play dares at a networking event.
Don't do it. Don't do it, ladies and gentlemen. Don't try this at home or anywhere else for that matter. That is hilarious. That is... I'm just thinking about your outfit. Now you have chalk or something all over your outfit, didn't you? Yeah,
it was a white shirt, but you know, you can't be too precious about things.
always a good sport, Georgie. Always down for the cause.
So yeah, don't wipe yourself along pictures. It might come back to I don't know, just network you.
It might come back to haunt your white shirt forevermore. Now you've got to throw it away.
That's all we've got time for, Sharon.
That's it.
Yeah.
Told
you'd be a good one.
Yeah, it was very exciting, as you said.
Thanks for listening, everyone, to Loose Lips with Sharon Carpenter and me, Georgie Porter. There's a bonus episode on Friday. Who knows what we'll say on Extra Lippy that day. We'll be back on Tuesday next week for a full episode.
Yeah, you never know what's going to come out of our mouths. Subscribe or follow, rate and review. We want to hear from you. LooseLips@createproductions.com. Also at the Missy Porter, at Sharon Carpenter. And we will see you on Friday.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.